permeating me? No idea. New people in the back. What's permeating me? No? Man, so somebody just wrote that up there? Yes, ma'am.
Spreading throughout.
Okay, spreading throughout. I like it. So, when it says permeating the world, what do you think of? You got Tommy Hilfiger in your shirt. What's your name?
Oh,
Justin. What do you think it means permeating the world? Take a wild guess. If you don't know, just know. That's what I'm not.
Maybe spreading the word of God around the world.
Okay, good. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. No idea. Anybody? What do you think permeating the world is? No? Man. Yes. Okay, good, good. Anybody else? What's up? Permeating the world?
Spread the word.
Okay, good. Do you think the word needs to be spread? Okay, y'all are not hearing aggressively. Why? Why does the word need to be spread? What's wrong with the world? It's corrupt. Okay, that's true. It is corrupt. Especially these politicians, huh? Inflation, but. Anybody else? Why does God's word need to permeate the world? Say it. Yeah.
So, kind of something I was just thinking about, because the world is. It agrees. And so that word permeate, in the definition, is spreading like a scent. And so when we're permeating the world, we're sending out a new scent, a new smell throughout everywhere to remove that old scent.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. What is the result of sin? We might not think of this that way. Yes, sir.
Death,
ultimately. All right. So, do y'all remember in the Garden of Eden? Do y'all remember what Satan told Eve? He said, "You shall not what? Die." All right? You shall not die. What did God tell them? You're going to die. All right? So, whenever they ate the fruit, did they die?
It was your choice.
Do you think? Did they die? What do you think? Did they die? Did they die? Say it again.
In a sense.
In a sense, what sense did they die? Okay, good. Anybody else? Yes.
They were separated from God.
Excellent. Excellent. All right. Then what else started to happen physically? What happened physically? Were they supposed to live forever in the garden? And then when they got kicked out of the garden, when they sinned, what started to happen? You're mumbling it. What is it? What's up? Everything fell apart. All right. Yes. Excellent. So it says that the ground became hard. Then man had to work from the sweat of his brow. All right? I have a big beef with this one. All right? I like to garden. I like to farm. From that point on, man had to work and he had to sweat for his food. All right? So when you females are out there doing your little passenger princess thing, I want this, I want that, you have to recognize that somebody's going to have to work for that, whether it be you, whether it be your spouse, whether it be your dad, or your mom, or your parents, or any of somebody's gonna, like, you don't just hop into a title. That didn't just happen, all right? So, same thing with God. If you want the nice little cars and clothes and stuff like that, you're gonna have to work for it. Somebody's gonna have to work for it, all right? It could be your great-great-grandfather that just left you, you know, a whole bunch of money. He had to work for it. Somebody had to work for that, okay? Homie had a nice Tommy Hilfiger shirt on. But if I want it, I have to go work for it. Okay? Does that make sense? So that started in the garden. Alright? When they sinned, whenever they were separated from God, they began to die. But when we think about sin, each and every sin, alright, we don't think of it like this sometimes. Each and every sin will ultimately result in death. Physically and spiritually. And I say physically because now, from the garden on, they didn't instantly drop dead, but life became harder. Okay? Things became more difficult. And whenever you devote your life to sin, and you even dabble in sin, your life is going to become harder. You may not think of it like that, but that's what's going to happen. You have these people that, you know, they got locked up, life of crime, and now they want to come out, oh, I want to talk to the kids, you know. They don't have to mess their life up like I did. No, you don't have to do that. But you don't have to experience a life of crime and get incarcerated for you to understand that. Okay? Y'all can understand, if you dabble in sin, your life is going to get harder. Alright? So, with that being said, the world is full of that. Alright? Everybody, well not everybody, but people in the world, if they are devoting their lives to sin, their life, like you said, it stinks. It's hard. It's difficult. It's not ideal. That's not the way God would have it to be. So, look over in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16 and verse number 15. I'm using the microphone today. I'm using the microphone. Alright, everybody see that?
No, probably not.
How about that? Can y'all see that over there? Good? Can you see? Okay. Can you see? You good? Alright, Mark 16. Verse number 15. What does that say? What did Jesus say? Where is it read?
And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Alright, excellent. So I'm going to do this exercise again. Alright. He said, go ye into, does it say San Antonio? Does it say Texas? Does it say just the people that you like?
All the world.
All the world. Does it say just the black community? No. Go into all, okay? The world. All right, focus on that because Jesus does not discriminate, all right? We as people, we discriminate sometimes. Jesus doesn't discriminate. And he doesn't want us to. Go into all the world. All right? Even the people that we think don't deserve it. Even the people that we think don't fit in our demographic. We don't really mesh with. No. He said go into all the world. All right? Now somebody else get Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And get verse number 38. All right? We talked about hypocrisy. The brother said, it's not practicing what you preach. And Jesus practiced what he preached. Look at Acts, somebody get Acts chapter 10 and verse number 38. What does that say?
How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, and with power he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the evil,
excellent,
by the devil.
Excellent. So he went about what? Doing what? What was the first one?
Doing good.
Doing good. I'm just going to put about good. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And doing what?
Healing
all those who are what?
Oppressed.
All right. Think about that. What does it mean to be oppressed? What does it mean to be oppressed? What do you think? Excellent. All right. So they're being oppressed by what? The devil. Do you think, in a sense, people today are oppressed by the devil? We don't really talk about this much. I want y'all to think about addiction. People that are addicted, substances, and not good things. You don't think they're being oppressed by something? It's their choice, yes, but you don't think that they're suffering because of that? People who are in difficult situations, whether that be financially, whether that be physically, who are in households that they are literally in physical harm, you don't think that they're being oppressed by something? In Jesus' sense, he was miraculously healing. But in our sense, you don't think that we can do our best and try to reach out to those people? Maybe try to do something for them? Those who are in oppressive situations? Romans would call sin a slave master. Alright? Another word we don't like to use. The slave master. Which means that people that are in sin, they have to serve that like a slave has to serve his master. And if we think about it from a spiritual perspective, Christ is the only one that can offer true liberation from that. Okay? So, look at this word as well. When y'all hear went about, what do you think of?
Gotta call somebody.
What do you think of?
Went away.
Okay, good. What do you think of? Went about. What's your name, by the way?
Jesus.
Jesus, what do you think about when you say, when you hear went about? What do you think? Yeah. I'm on. Okay, good. What do you think? Good. Let's leave that. He was going looking for something. Jesus was on the move. Alright? Do you think Jesus was just like chilling, sitting in one place, like, well, y'all are bad people. And then went to his house? No. He went about doing good. He was on the move. He was looking for these opportunities to do good and to heal those who were being oppressed by the devil. Okay? So, we talk about going into all the world and how the world lies in wickedness. Yes. But our attitude is not, man, those are just terrible individuals. And we just sit back and do nothing. Jesus said, go into all the world. And actually, I heard this point, that was a pretty good point. He said, go into. When you think of these two, what do you think of in connection? Go into. What do you think is trying to be communicated when you say go into? Does that mean that the world just needs to come to you? Alright? Now, it's great that when the world comes to the church and says, hey, you know, this is what we want to be better. Yes, we love those things. But Jesus says, now you go to them. Alright? Yes, ma'am.
We invest in them. Situation to share the gospel, to be that lesson,
or not lesson,
permeating
the world. Excellent. Alright? Excellent. So our attitude is not just to sit back and do nothing, but it's to go into the world, to go about doing good, to try to help those who are in these situations. And so I want to start there because we're going to be very practical, but we have to get the permeating the world down. Because many adults have an attitude that we just look at the world and we just talk about how bad it is and how everything is going downhill and blah, blah, blah. And I just think, what are we doing about it? Well, nothing. We're just going to sit back and talk about it. Jesus went about doing good. All right? So when we're talking about these practical things, all these are very proactive. When I say proactive, what do you think of? When I say proactive, what do you think? Sorry, I'm aggressive. When I say proactive, what do you think? Okay. Anybody? Proactive.
You're progressing towards something.
Excellent. Excellent. With intent. Alright? With intent. If I said, whoever gets this thing first, I will give you $300. Would anybody stay in their seat? No? Y'all want $300? Okay. Y'all would all come here. Now what if one of y'all just ran to the back? No, that's dumb. Like, what are you doing? Just right here. You're going towards something. Okay? So when I say proactive, Jesus went about doing good. He was looking for opportunities. He went towards something. So all these things are going to be, you have to get up out of your pew, your seat, and you have to go. Alright? None of this is passive. None of this just happens. Okay? If you're going to permeate the world, it's not going to just happen. Alright? It's going to take some effort. So, Which, I mean, this makes sense. So who plays sports currently? All right. Are y'all in team sports or just individual?
Team.
All right, when you have that one individual, what sport do you play? Yeah. Softball. Let's say you have that one individual. What's an important position in softball?
Pitcher.
Let's say a pitcher just does not get any effort. I'm not doing much. She just like, right? What if she just does that? What would you say? Would you appreciate that?
Nah.
You gotta get some effort, bro.
Yep.
You have to just get some effort, alright? You have to try. At least try. Y'all laugh, but people do Christianity the same way. Not even trying. I go in there, I sit in my pew, get out. Alright? Now, I may be stepping on certain toes, especially with adults and parents. The reality is, that's Christianity for a lot of people. Young people, we can permeate the world, and we can be different, all right? We don't have to be like that. Because the world is being oppressed by the devil, okay? So, let's look at some passages. Let's look at, somebody get 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to get verses 32 and 33. And we're going to bring up a couple of these examples because there is a, it might not be a verbal objection, but a mental objection. Well, I'm young. All right? 1 Samuel 17, verses 32 and 33. Sometimes we think, well, I'm young, therefore I can't. All right? So we're going to go to the classic example. All right? First Samuel, somebody get verses 32 and 33 of 1 Samuel 17. Anybody?
And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth.
Excellent. So what's going on here? Anybody? Yes, ma'am. Excellent. Why? Because he's a youth. Who's David trying to go up against, though? Yeah. A man of war, bro. Like, I can't even think about the biggest dude ever. And this is not like guns. This isn't like tasers. This is like combat, like swords and shields. I mean, and you have a young guy. I think any logical person would say, yeah, we don't want that situation. That's a mismatch. Typically. But David said, no, I'll do it. But you have Saul casting doubt. Now, I want us to think about this for a little bit. Think about David and Goliath from this perspective. What did David do? Did David go get a sword and fight him hand to hand? What did David do? Yes, sir. Use a sling, all right, and some stones. Yes, sir.
Not only that, before that, you're talking about Saul doubting. He even tried to give him armor and everything else. Saul thought he would need, but he said, I don't want that stuff. Let me do it the way I know how to do it.
Yes. Yes. So did David go in, eyes closed, just swinging a sword? I don't know how I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. No. What did David have?
He had a sling.
He had a sling.
Stone.
He had a plan. All right? That's my point. David had a plan. Alright? He knew that Goliath was going to be a close combat kind of guy. That's his strong suit. And so he's like, no, I'm not going to go over there and fight him on his own turf. I'm going to hit him from range, knock him out, go over there and handle business. Alright? David had a plan. And so my encouragement is, we may be young, we may be inexperienced and unable to do certain things, but have a plan. Have a plan. You might have to be a little bit more creative. So who here does not drive? Alright, quite a bit of y'all don't drive. So let's say you want to do some good. Let's say you want to go and visit a person that's in a nursing home, right? But you can't get in your own car and drive. You have to have a plan. Okay? If you say, hey, mom, I want to go to a nursing home and blah, blah, blah. Well, what time you want to go? Well, 12 o'clock. Well, that might not work because she might be at work. You see what I'm saying? You have to think. Typically what people do is, well, I can't drive, so I'm not going to go. That's not the right attitude. You might be young, but have a plan and execute that plan. All right? Another one. Look over in Judges chapter 8. Judges chapter 8. Let me write this down.
David had a...
Judges chapter 8. This one's interesting. And this is not for a necessarily a good example, but I wanted to show an observation. Judges chapter 8, look at verses 20 and 21. Somebody get it.
And he said to the other in his firstborn, rise, kill him, or kill him, but the youth would not draw his sword, and he was afraid because he was hurt. So Zebah and Zalmunna said, rise yourself and kill us, for as a man is, so is his strength.
Good. You can stop right there. Sorry, I gave some pointers. It says, as a man is, so is his what? Strength. As a man is, so is his strength. Alright? He would not rise up and do what he needed to do because he was young. He was afraid. He's probably never done this before. But they were, even his own enemies were saying, no. Do what you need to do. As a man is, so is his strength. So I want y'all to think about that in terms of what we're about to talk about with these practical things. They might be scared because you've probably never done them before. They might be a little out of your comfort zone, and that's okay. You got to have the courage to do it. Once again, this is, I thought, you know, Obed didn't tell me that it was going to be like this. I thought there were going to be adults in here. But I was going to make this point that this is not just a young person thing. There's a lot of adults that they won't do nothing because they're scared, because it makes them uncomfortable. All right? This is not a young person specific phenomenon. So, as a man is, so is his strength. It might be natural for young people to be afraid to do certain things, but there's no other prettier way to say it than we just have to overcome it. You consider Christ on the cross. We'll get to this in just a moment as well. But Jesus faced the cross. Okay? You don't think that that was a very large undertaking? Just keep that in the back of our minds. Okay? So, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse number 12. Whoever has it, read it, and read it slowly, please.
It says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example for the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
All right, we have, I believe, six terms here. What are they? Word.
Conduct.
Okay. Next.
Love.
Excellent. Next.
Spirit.
Spirit. Okay. Spirit.
Faith.
Faith.
And purity.
Excellent. Let's go through these. Alright. So, first off, actually, I actually struggled with this passage for quite some time. Still kind of do sometimes. Because he says, let no one despise you. That word despise is the idea to think less of or think down on. And I struggle with it because I can't control anybody else. He might think less of me because I'm, you know, less than 6 foot tall. A lot of women. Luckily, I'm married, so it doesn't really matter. But anyway, they might. I can't control them, right? I believe the point he's trying to make here is don't let that affect you to change your actions. Okay? So, but rather, be an example in word. That's the idea of speech. Okay? Let's talk. How can you be an example to the believers? Example, meaning someone can look at you and say, that's the way it should be done. How could you do that as a young person in word and speech? Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Talk.
What do you mean?
To speak to people, because if you're comfortable with everyone, it's easier to
talk to people about God who have known you for a long time, because you don't want to reject someone that you love a lot and know them very well.
Excellent. So I'm going to do this in two ways. In the church, sometimes, you know, we have the people that sometimes we do it ourselves. We go to our pew, we don't talk to nobody. Go to the service, dart out. Don't edify nobody, don't encourage nobody. Don't provide any other benefit to any other person in that building. Okay? What you're talking about is friends, people, even strangers. You know, sometimes, I did some studying on, it kind of went kind of a dark hole, but the idea of social validation and how we as humans need validation, whether it be from people or whatever. And one of the things it was talking about was people that don't get that validation, they sometimes resort to violence. But it was making the point that you can have a person that is going down that road, but even if a stranger acknowledges them, if they say, hi, how are you doing? A random stranger. If they see some stranger do something good for them, that completely changes their whole perspective, and they no longer go down that track. So, I say that to say hi to strangers. Talk to people. You might be surprised, you know. Now, of course, be smart. You don't have to, you know, get in a van that says free candy. But you get my point, all right? Talk to people. Excellent. So, conduct. How can you be an example in conduct, behavior? Do we be acting a plum fool? Is that what we should be doing as young people? Yes? No? Somebody, how can you be an example in how you behave? Josh, what do you think?
In what you say.
Hmm?
In what you say.
In what you say? All right, that's kind of words. What about behavior? Yes, ma'am.
I feel like younger people have bad reputation of being disrespectful and rude, and just showing that you're not that kind of person can really make someone think there's something different about you, and that opens up the conversation to, oh, he's a Christian, that's why they behave with me.
Excellent. What's your name again?
Vianette.
Say again?
Vianette.
Vianette? Like that. So anyway, you know Vianette, you know. That's just the way she is. Nobody likes it, but we just have to put up with it. Once again, we laugh, but the amount of times I've heard that for older ladies, you know Sister Susan, she just talks. Let's not be like that, okay? All right, love. You mean that young people can be an example of how to love? That's weird about young people to know how to love. What do y'all think? Let's be more specific. Love is pretty broad. What's your name?
Angel.
Angel, if I told you I love you, bro, and I just came in and just started slapping you, would you like, you know, he does love me? Would you think that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I don't know what I think.
Would you think that I loved you? Let's make it even better. Let's say, you know, I tell you, no, Angel, I really love you. And then we go outside, and then you got gas, right? I got a gas tank in my hand, and I'm like, nah, I'm straight. And I walk off my own gas tank. Would you think that I love you? Probably not. Let's say you're on the side of the road, right? And you're beat up because somebody just stomped on you. And you're bleeding profusely, a lot. And you need medical attention. And your phone's dead, so you can't call an ambulance. And so you say, hey, can you call an ambulance? And I say, with my phone in my hand, nah. You think I love you? No. Okay. So that means I can tell you all day, but if I don't what? You don't know. What's the, if I don't what?
Show it.
If I don't show it, all right? So, Will, was it?
Sorry, yeah, I was just going to give an example of that, is the Good Samaritan.
Excellent.
You look at the Levites and the, I think it was a priest, both religious leaders and loved by the people, but they themselves didn't help this Jewish man who was of their, I mean, we suppose that he was a Jewish man who was of their tribe, of their family. And then you have the Samaritan who comes by, who the Jews absolutely hate with a passion. And yet the Good Samaritan was still willing to love him and care for him, take him to the inn and provide for all of his needs, pay for everything that he needed.
Excellent. So, I mean, I'll be real. I'll give an example. Our culture, we're in Texas, the South. Our culture is typically very hostile to those of a homosexual persuasion. Okay? That's just the facts. How do you treat those people? They might be our waiters. They are, might be our waitresses. They might be our baristas. They might be our next door neighbors. They might be our classmates. Do we be like, oh, that's disgusting? When they need something, do we say, no, I'm not giving you that, in our minds? Or do we go out of our way and show them that we love them? Okay? Something to think about. In spirit, all right? This one was pretty tough. In spirit, I believe that's to be in reference to the attitude. The reason why is because we all have a spirit, and I can't necessarily see your spirit, so I don't understand how you can be an example of that. So I believe that's a reference to the attitude, having a good spirit about you, all right? So has anybody's parents ever told them, you have a bad attitude? Mm-hmm. All of y'all, I know it. You have a bad attitude, all right? Don't want to do nothing, all right? Don't want to wash the dishes, just wash the dishes, all right? It's not a big deal, just wash the dishes. So, be an example in spirit, all right? Have a good attitude. Nobody likes a Debbie Downer, all right? Just killing the mood, come in here and everybody just like, you know? Have a good attitude. If things don't go your way, have a good attitude. Be an example, all right? Faith. Faith is a big one, all right? Be an example in faith. Everybody, nah, we can't do it, we can't do it. Well, you know, well, God told us we can do it, so let's go ahead and do it, all right? Purity, making sure you are pure, you're innocent, all right? Like I said in the first one, that might not be the case in some senses for some of us, but we can make that right, and we can become an example of being pure, all right? That's not just physically, that's also spiritually as well. Yes, sir?
If you don't mind going back to spirit,
yes,
and attitude, that's a pretty big issue we have today, because at least in my line of work, I'm a soldier, so every day my soldiers have something to complain about. They're always down in the dumps and like life is ending that day. And so it's important for us Christians to set the example of, well, where does our hope come from? You know, it doesn't matter what the day brings, we know that we're secure with Christ and that he gives us peace and hope. We should reflect that in our attitudes as well.
Yes, sir. Excellent, excellent. So, let's look over at 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Somebody get 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And read verse number 5. 13 and verse number 5. Whoever has it, please just read it.
It says, doth not behave itself unseemly.
2 Corinthians 13.
Oh, okay.
I said verse number 5. 2 Corinthians 13, verse number 5.
Examine yourself.
Wait, hold on. Examine your friend. Examine your enemy. Examine the preacher. What does it say?
Yourself.
Keep going.
As to whether you are in the faith, test yourself. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified.
Excellent. So, examine yourself. I want to encourage us. If you're going to make a difference, it's going to start with you. You. It's not going to start with the preacher. It's not going to start with your parents. If you want to make a difference, he's going to start with you. You want to permeate the world? If it's not like, this is not something that, you know, my parents want me to do, you know, my preacher, no. If it's something that you want to do. For some of y'all, y'all might not want to, you know, y'all might just be listening and like, oh, that's fine. No, you do you. But if you want to permeate the world and make a difference and be a good influence out to the world and other people, it's going to start with you. And you have to examine yourself, all right? You know your strengths, you know your weaknesses, you know where you have blind spots, typically. Whatever those are, it's different for everybody. But it's going to have to start with you. Not you pointing fingers, it's going to have to start with you. And you say, I need to do better. I need to go out and do this, okay? So, examine yourself, So we're going to go over some examples with the time that we have of some practical ways in which we can permeate the world and we can be a difference. The first one I want to examine is in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number, we're going to start with verse number 16. And we're going to look at this to point out what it looks like in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 16. We're going to point something out in what's going to maybe look like a contradiction. But we're going to kind of iron it out. So Matthew chapter 5, somebody get verse number 16 whenever you have it.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Excellent. All right. So let your light shine so that they may what?
They can shine before men.
All right. So that they may do what? Excellent. See. So that, purpose, they may see. All right, now somebody get Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1. You say your name was Micaiah, correct? Read Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 1, if you don't mind.
Take heed that ye do not. Take heed that ye do not hear alms before men. Do not be seen before men. Otherwise, ye have no reward for the Father which is in heaven.
Excellent. So Matthew 5 verse 16 says, do things so that they may see. But Matthew 6 verse number 1, Jesus in the same kind of speech, was saying, don't do certain things to be seen. Could somebody help me with this? Yes, ma'am.
It's kind of like when you're doing a good favor out of the kindness of your heart versus just for people to recognize that you're doing that.
Excellent. It's a very subtle distinction. Okay? The reason why I bring this up, I think about this from an adult lens because I see it a lot. People do things so that they can be seen. People do things so that they can, you know, get their name on a plaque. So that they can get their name on a building. You know? Or, just so, you know, we thank Brother So-and-so for donating. That's what they want. Okay? That's not the point. What's the point?
Do it because it's the right thing to do.
Right thing to do? What did Jesus say in Matthew 5:16? To glorify the Father in heaven. In heaven. Okay? That's the point. So, when we do things for other people, whether it be public or whatever, we want to be seen. But do we want to be seen for our own personal worth? No. We want that to glorify the Father in heaven. Alright? That's inward. That's motive. So, proceeding on, whenever we talk about these good things, they have to be done with a good motive. To glorify the Father in heaven. Okay? So, let's look over at Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Somebody read verses 3 through 5. Somebody over here. Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Anybody? Okay.
Older women, likewise, want to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves, too much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled.
All right, so that says reviled. I'm running out of space right here. It says reviled. Anybody have a different translation that says something else? Blasphemed. Anybody have anything else? What does that mean? Anybody know what that means? Let's see. You know what that means, Paul? No. You know what blasphemy means? Yeah. No. Nobody knows what blasphemy means? Somebody. Yes.
Blasphemy or blasphemy? I mean, I'm guessing they mean the book. I guess speaking against God.
Okay, okay. What are you going to say? Take it.
Dishonor.
Okay. Some translations have the idea to speak evil of. Okay. So, what's your name?
Emmanuel.
If I say man, if I come over here and like, man, Emmanuel is trash at basketball, bro. I try to play with him the other day. Nah, he's okay. If I say he's a terrible person, all right? Don't be around Emmanuel. Would you appreciate that, Emmanuel?
No.
No, why not?
Because you're saying that I'm just a bad person.
You're not a bad person?
No.
Okay. If I speak evil of him, that's the idea. Okay? Now, what was that last part of that verse again? That what be not blaspheme?
The word of God.
The word of God. Do you think sometimes our actions makes God's word to be evil spoken of? Anybody think of an example of that? I know everybody said they've seen a hypocrite. Alright? What does a hypocrite do for the church? Good. Nobody likes a hypocrite. Actually, I don't know if y'all ever heard this. I'm not going to know that church. That's full of hypocrites. Y'all ever heard that?
Mm-hmm.
What do y'all think about that? Is that good? Okay. Paul was telling Titus to tell the people, to the older woman, to teach the young woman, to live in such a way that God's word does not get evil spoken of. We don't want people saying, Zandra. We don't want people saying, oh, Zandra goes over there? Oh, no, I'm not. I saw her the other night. Is that what we want? That's what that's talking about. Okay? So, when we're talking about permeating the world, our behavior, if we wear the name Christian, our behavior demonstrates the fruit of God. So when I say the fruit of God, when y'all think of fruit, what do you think of? Y'all think of an apple? When I say the fruit of, the fruit of a congregation, the fruit of your actions, what do you think of? It's Jesus, right? He's Jesus. Jesus. When I say the fruit, what do you think of?
Fruit of the Spirit.
Okay, good. Okay. Mike, what do you think? Okay. Josh, what do you think?
What thing do you find?
Okay, good. What they view you by? You think of like a result. Alright? Yeah, has anybody seen an apple tree? Probably not. Have you seen an apple tree? Alright. If that apple tree made oranges, what would you think? It's weird, right?
It'd be a little weird.
Yeah, because that's not the fruit it's supposed to produce. My point is, that's not the result it's supposed to have. So when we talk about the fruit of God, young people, we show the result of God. Alright? We show the result of God in our actions. So, whenever you're acting like a plumb fool to your parents and being disrespectful, people see that. People recognize that. And you don't think in their mind, whenever it comes time to have a spiritual thought, and let's say your parents want to have a conversation with these individuals about the gospel, and they say, your kids are crazy. I don't want that. I don't want that result for my kids. You fast forward a little bit. Let's say y'all go off to college or, you know, work a job, and y'all's behavior is a reflection of your parents, of your community, where you're from, all those things. You can either show good fruit or you can show bad fruit. Does anybody eat grapes in here? Alright, would you eat a grape? Let's say you have a container of green grapes. And one was so moldy that it had hair all over it. It was gray and black. Would you eat that grape? Y'all want to pop that in your mouth? Why? That's not the fruit. That's not a good fruit. Okay? My point in saying that is, you don't think that people think about what they are consuming in terms of where they're going, who they want to associate with? If you are a bad fruit, they probably wouldn't want to participate in that. So, think about your actions and have good actions, because that demonstrates the fruit of God. All right? Let's fast forward through these last couple. All right, somebody go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And read verse number 14 and 15. Yes, ma'am.
Do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God, without fault in the midst of and the first generation among whom you shine as light in the world.
Excellent. So how do you shine as light in the midst of the world, according to this verse? Do all things without complaining. And I think you said disputed. Mm-hmm. Alright. I know y'all be complaining. I can tell. Something doesn't go your way. You don't get the PS5. Y'all complained, didn't you? Angel, you complained? You didn't get the PS5? Yeah, you did. I know you did. Alright? Smack your lips. Have a bad attitude. Alright? Let's make it even serious. Something tragic happens. Sickness. Death in the family. Some people, they resort to, man, God took my mom. And then they just walk away from God. Make something different. Things happen in the family that they shouldn't be happening like that. Man, why did God put me in this position? Man, why do I have to do this? Why do I have to do that? People see that. Okay? People see the way you react to these things. Look over what we got through there. I believe it's Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, you have Paul and Silas in prison. Does anybody know what they were doing in prison?
Singing
and what? Praying. Excellent. Singing and praying. Why were they in prison?
For talking about God.
Alright, more specifically. You remember why they were in prison? Alright, more specifically though, they cast a demon out of a girl. It was a girl that was brought these individuals a lot of money. She had a demon in her. After much days, Paul cast that demon out of her. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? So then they brought him and they put him in prison. Can you imagine if you, let's say you gave someone some money. You gave a homeless, you saw a homeless person on the side of the road, say, here, here's $10. Then a cop swoops in and arrests you, sends you to jail for giving someone money. What would you think? It's not fair. I was trying to do something good, and this bad result came. Now, did they mope about it? Did they smack their lips? What do they do?
They sing and pray.
They're singing and praying to God in the midst of this situation. And it would say that those in the prison heard them. Okay? That's important. Whenever you complain, Angel, about not getting that PS5, people hear that. Okay? Whenever we complain about our life situations, people hear that. But whenever we are on the other side, Ephesians 5, verse number 4, giving thanks, being thankful for our situation, you know what? Maybe mom didn't give me a PS5, but at least I have room for my head. Whenever we're being thankful, people hear that as well. And what happened as a result in Acts chapter 16? You have the jailer come, trembling, ask, well, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Okay? It has an effect. All right, finally, let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Somebody read verse number 11. Ephesians 5, verse number 11.
And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather of holiness.
Excellent. No fellowship, but rather reprove. Alright. Word fellowship in the original, the idea is participate. Don't participate. You know, y'all see people doing things they should not be doing. Alright? You have two choices. You can either say, hey, I'm gonna go and join that. Or you can reprove it. Alright? So when you hear reprove, what do you think of?
Change.
Say again?
Change.
Change? Alright, what else? Reprove, what do you think of? If something, what?
To correct them.
Correct is the idea, good. So it's the idea to expose, to bring to light, to correct. All right? Which means, the brother here, let me pick on somebody else. What's your name again?
What?
No, I don't. Daniel? If Daniel comes to me and just flat out disrespects me, says, you are the worst type of preacher ever. I don't want to ever see your face again. Don't come up here ever again. Now, it might be true, but it's a little disrespectful, right? Now, I could just, you know, slap him inside the head with the Bible and say, you're wrong for coming at me like that. Or, I can do so tactfully and say, you know what? We're both, you say you're 20... 25. Say, we're both men. You want respect, right? You want respect. You like being disrespected? I don't either. And I believe as us two men, I think we can be disrespectful, even if you may not, you know, like my presentation. Is that fair? Now, did I come at him sideways? Did I call him anything that I shouldn't have called him? No. You can reprove the unfruitful works of darkness and do so tactfully with wisdom in a way that we don't have to sever our bond, but we can do so respectfully. Alright? But if I would have said, oh, you want to disrespect me, I'm going to disrespect you back. That's me participating in those actions. Okay? Kind of a trivial example, but you get the point. So, that is very proactive. Don't participate in it, but rather reprove it. Okay? So, finally, Jesus came and he died. He died to give us life. Alright? He died so that we can go into the world and preach the gospel. He died so that we can do good and heal and try to do our best to help people in these situations. Of course, his was miraculously like we talked about. Ours is not. But Christ suffered and he died for us to not just hold this within ourselves, but to shine that light out into the world. Alright? And we as young people, say we as young people, we have just as much responsibility in that as anybody else. Not only do we have just as much responsibility, we have just as much ability as well. Y'all are in circles and have influences in places that your parents probably never will. All right? Use that to your advantage. Be proactive, be intentional, and try to show the light of God out in whatever space that you are in. Once again, like we talked about before, you don't have to be popular in order to do this. You don't have to be a Paul. You don't have to be this big name brother in whatever circle. You can do that in whatever sphere of influence that you already have. You just have to put in the effort and be intentional. Thank y'all for y'all's attention.